When she was 18, her father gave her the advice she needed to follow her dreams and become a writer. The next day, he had a heart attack and died in her arms. She did become a writer and a business owner and then a wife and mother. Today, after 13 books, a million of them in print, she's an award-winning syndicated columnist, a radio and TV host, and the owner of two successful companies. And now, Elise is here to help you rebuild your life. Stay tuned. This is gonna be good. This is the Elise Glink Show, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the Elise Glink Show, live on Sunday here on News Talk WSB. Rebuilding America one house at a time, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. If you haven't been following me on Twitter, at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K, you missed all the cool stuff from the Edison Awards this week. I was the MC for the Edison Awards in San Francisco, and there were 2 days of really interesting conversations about everything from how water is the new oil and how technology is continuing to revolutionize everything from face cream to how your teeth get whitened, all the way to nanotechnology. I saw an amazing presentation on nanotechnology and how it really works. I never understood it before. This guy, who's the CEO of a company called NanoMech, massive employer in Arkansas, who makes incredible products. Just incredible. So, lots of interesting things. Next hour, I want to talk about that and give you a little bit of insight into some of the future of some of these products and services, because I think that we will see all of this stuff start to filter into our daily lives very, very soon, if not already. And technology truly has the profound ability to change the way we live our lives here. Just amazing. Amazing to have a front row seat to it, and delighted to be sharing that with you next hour. I want to get into some of the big business news that happened this week. There's just so much going on. I want to take your calls as well. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. In fact, lines are lighting up now. There's a couple of lines open, but let's see if we can jump in, and then we're going to go into the numbers. Phyllis joins me on the line. Hi, Phyllis.
Hi, Elise. I'm traveling, and we may lose connection, so I'll be as quick as I can. I live in a subdivision where our homes are all underwater with our mortgages. The area is going downhill. It was a pioneer subdivision, and then other subdivisions were created, and things just have not worked out very well. I have discovered that my area is actually zoned for various types of group homes. I would like to get out of my house. I would like to consider converting it into a group home, and I don't mean a nursing home, and I realize that different types of group homes have different types of requirements and certifications. I also happen to have a nonprofit organization that helps disadvantaged women. I'm wondering whether I should even consider the viability of, you know, creating a group home and putting it under the umbrella of the nonprofit. I don't know how to go 1, 2, 3 ABC. I've tried talking to my small business development center, other people. I think this is so new to them. They're just clueless. What do you suggest that I do? And I wish I could pull over somewhere and sit with my notepad in pen. If I'm able to, I will, but I'm probably just going to have to remember everything you're telling me.
Well, you only have to remember it until, like, say, Wednesday of this week, because then it'll be posted on my website at thinklink.com.
Excellent.
And you can actually just go there and listen to this conversation all over again if you really want to.
All right.
The So, a couple of things. First of all, when you say that your neighborhood is zoned for group homes, there's a wide variability there. So, I think the first thing you really need is a conversation with a real estate attorney who can research not just your neighborhood, but are you in a planned unit development as well, or are you sort of built in a neighborhood?
I'm in a planned unit that was built about 25 years ago. There is no longer a homeowners association. I have spoken with the zoning board, and they have confirmed, you know, that that the subdivision is indeed zoned for group housing. There was actually a daycare center in one of the homes. One of the homes had been foreclosed, purchased. At a markdown price by someone and rented out. And we had a small daycare center. It was very well managed and operated. They needed larger space, so they moved elsewhere.
So your house could be a group home if if you know that there's a daycare center. Okay, that's great. Now my sense of this is you need to think about how to get, if you want to do it underneath the umbrella, you need somebody, probably a lawyer again, and probably in conjunction with a tax advisor. So somebody who maybe is a tax lawyer, but also somebody who works with nonprofits. Because the idea is that you're going to donate the house to your nonprofit and take a big tax deduction. So that means you still have to pay, somebody has to either pay off the mortgage or they have to allow the house to be refinanced into the nonprofit. But there's going to be, and if you're trying to avoid a deficiency and a credit issue, the only way to do that is you're going to have to actually pay off the mortgage. So can you pay off this mortgage?
It would be difficult, but I probably could. I'm also considering forgetting the nonprofit, but retaining ownership of the house, turning it into say maybe an adult daycare center, something for the certifications. The requirements are not as stringent as a full service nursing home. I would not want that.
So this
is managing it myself.
But Phyllis, this is a big business decision.
I know.
So
I'm talking to you.
Well, I'm very appreciative of that. This isn't just simply a real estate question, though. So what kind of business you choose to go into is really crucial, and understanding the business need for that in the neighborhood. So if you live in a neighborhood full of young families and kids and there are no elderly people who could take advantage of it, it's not a very good business decision.
Right.
So that's the first thing. Is there a need?
It's a mature neighborhood. There is a need.
Okay. So we've talked about that. So now you need to look at the numbers. How does it pay? And what kind of help do you need? And can you get the kind of help you need to actually run a really high-quality senior center? And how much will people pay for that? Those are all business decisions that you have to look into. Have you done that?
Yes, I have.
Okay. And what have you discovered?
And, yes, I have discovered that I can find highly competent, qualified people in my area to assist with the running of the home. I have discovered that I can build through other people who have experience running these homes. I have discovered the amount of monthly rent per daycare resident could be billed. And deducting the overhead, there would still be a profit.
Okay, and then the next question is your home going to be able to be used by seniors, some of whom may have nursing homes or may need grab bars and bathrooms, and are you going to remodel your home? Are there standards that you have to meet?
There would have to be some remodeling done, some modifications done. The house is 2,500 square feet on one level with a 2,500 square feet full-length daylight basement, on some acreage.
Mm-hmm.
So there would need to be, some modifications. In other words, I could potentially make the house available to a good number of people, but I certainly would not want to be packing people in like sardines. That would not be beneficial to anyone. But in other words, because the house has that full-length basement, And this is now just a concrete poured daylight basement. It is not finished. But modifications could be made. I don't know whether there would be grants available that could help with the costs. I don't know who I would need to talk with about that.
So let's just stop because there's so much here, right? You can just see how big this is.
Yes.
So now let me ask you another question.
Yes.
If you sold your home in a short sale, how much would you have to make up the difference? Tell me what the house is, what's your mortgage, and what is the home?
The mortgage is about $794. I probably owe
$794,000?
No, I'm sorry.
How much is your mortgage?
$120,000.
Okay, $120,000 that you owe, and what's the house worth?
Pardon me?
How much can you, if you sold the house today, what would you get for it?
I don't know. It would probably have to be a short sale
within
real estate in the area, and I would not want to engage in a short sale because I understand that assuming the bank will work with you on a short sale, that once the sale has been completed, that if you go and try to buy another house, that other lending companies, other banks, will regard your short sale almost the same as a foreclosure.
Okay, let me stop you, Phyllis. Phyllis, you've made a really big assumption.
Yes.
So we've just heard, I've just listened to you, all the work that you've put into trying to figure out if you can run an adult daycare center. That business has huge risks to it.
Yes.
Also that you could keep making a $700 mortgage payment. Your house has a $120,000 mortgage. Let's just say it could sell for $80,000.
Right.
You would be far better off getting all the money that you can together and paying off that property where it would not sell. It only translates to your credit history as a short sale if you don't pay off the remaining mortgage balance. So assuming you can pay the remaining mortgage balance, it doesn't matter where you sell the house for. You pay it off and you go buy a different house and move on.
Okay.
What you are describing to me is a complete and total nightmare that has about, I would say, a 25% chance of making any money for you whatsoever. And if all you're doing is trying to continue to make your $794 mortgage payment, I can tell you, and I don't even know the numbers, that the liability insurance that you are going to have to buy just to cover over this scheme is going to be so significant. And then you're going to need all kinds of other coverage. You're going to need to hire these people, and you're going to need to pay disability for them, and you're going to need to pay workers' comp for them. And there's just a million different ways that opening a senior center in your house could go wrong. And instead, your other choice is to get $40,000 together and just pay off the mortgage and be done and sell this house. Get rid of the house.
I will. Thank you for helping me to avoid what could have been a potential very, very nasty train wreck.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. go sell your house. And yes, you've taken a hit, but it's okay. It's going to be a lot better than the hit you're going to take running a senior center. I'm so glad you called today. 19 minutes past the hour. We have to take a quick break. This is the Elyse Glink Show, Rebuilding America, One House at a Time on WSB. Minutes past the hour on the Elyse Glink Show, Rebuilding America, One House at a Time, starting with yours. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Just a couple of thoughts that occurred to me in the commercial break about Phyllis. And it's really interesting, her situation, right? She's gone through what must be weeks and weeks and weeks of work. When you look at the numbers, right, so what did she do? She broke down how she could run a senior center. She researched whether she could even have one legally in her place. She can't. She started to talk to people who could be employed by it and what kind of certification she would need for it and some other things as well. And so she walked down this incredibly long path that probably took all hours and hours, maybe 100, 200 hours of research time. All to try, if you caught it at the end, to cover a $700 mortgage payment a month. And all of this was predicated on a complete misconception of what a short sale would do to her credit. So she just didn't want to do a short sale, didn't want to do it, because she had heard, maybe from some friends, I find that people get really terrible information from their friends, all of whom mean well, of course, but not necessarily really knowing what to do. And she's talking to people, and they're telling her, short sale's terrible, you'll never get to buy a house again. Also, which isn't true. And so she's trying to figure out how to cover a $794 payment. And in my head, I'm listening to her, and I'm thinking, well, you could put in an elevator for $50,000, and you could do this, and you could do this. And she's going to go try to apply for grants and small business loans, all to cover a $794 payment every month. So what she didn't understand is if she's like $30,000, $40,000 short, she doesn't even understand the most basic information that she needs to know, which is, what is the house worth today? So when I asked her what her mortgage was, right, she's thinking mortgage payment I have to cover, $700 a month. But the amount of the mortgage, $120,000, what's the house worth today? She doesn't know. What the house is worth today is the key question, right? Because she needs to figure out how much money she has to pull out of retirement or whatever else and just pay it off and move on and be done. And when she realized that, did you hear the relief in her voice? She was so incredibly relieved. Because here's the easy out, and no, it isn't going to impact your credit, and all you have to do is pay this off. And yeah, it's a loss. It's a loss. But it's a lot less risky than this whole plan that she had laid out, where she's going to remodel her home to be a senior center and start getting people in to do all this stuff. It's the easy way out, and it isn't going to have an impact long term. And you know what the risk is. It's quantifiable. 27 minutes past the hour on the Elise Kling Show, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours on WSB. Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Kling Show, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours. Our number, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, online, all of the time, thinkglink.com. Thinkglink.com. And don't forget to follow me on Twitter, @Glink, @GLINK. All right, we're going to go back to the phones, and Kathy joins me on the line from Alpharetta. Hi, Kathy.
Hello.
How are you?
Oh, I'm great, thank you. I'm really honored to talk to you.
Well, I'm happy to have you on the show today. What's going on in your world?
A lot.
That's what everybody says when they call in.
Sorry.
No, it's good. You fit right in.
I have four rentals. I'm a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I wasn't going to make more than a nurse's wages my life, and I have a husband who is a substitute teacher, and he's very good at it, and I want to see it about him going to school to finish his degree. He's got approximately 2 years of credits in his name.
Mm-hmm.
So I really want to do that. I am 51, and he's 45. Now, sorry about all the background, but
I got to have some background, right? Because I'm never going to be able to fix this.
Yes. I've got four children, ages 13, 10, 11, and 7.
Okay, can I just stop you here and say I'm in awe? Because you've got four kids, a husband who wants to go to school, four rental properties, a place that you probably live in, and you're a full-time nurse.
Indeed.
Okay. Well, kudos to you, Kathy. Like, whatever else is going on in your life, you have the wherewithal to give me a call this morning on top of all of that on a Sunday morning. Good for you.
Well, I really need some guidance at this point.
All right.
I got the rentals knowing, you know, that someday I was going to want to retire and someday I was going to have kids that I wanted to be able to send to college.
Okay.
Now, I bought a house and then turned around and rented it, and then bought another one and rented it and bought another one. That's how I did this.
Mm-hmm.
But I bought them at, you know, market value. I didn't get any, I didn't do the foreclosures and that. I wish, you know, that I had had the wherewithal to do that. But anyways, so I owe approximately what they're worth, if not slightly more than they're worth.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes my home.
Okay.
I refinanced four of them last year to try to get a break because I've accumulated since my last son. I had a catastrophic pregnancy and I almost died, and he had a hard time initially.
Oh.
But
is he okay now?
But fortunately, we're here, and he's, yes, he's great. He's perfectly healthy, and I'm so thankful to be here.
Okay.
But I have accumulated in that time. I've had two surgeries since. But, you know, who knows what's to be in the future.
How much debt have you accumulated? I would assume as a nurse you'd have decent health care at your own hospital, but I'm sure that it doesn't cover everything. So you have some debt?
Correct. But actually I've done a good job of paying those medical bills down.
Okay.
And my primary concern now is my credit cards. I went as high as approximately $58,000. On them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm down to, and this was last year, now we're down to $51,000.
In credit card debt?
Yes.
Okay.
Because of, like now we need to get a sliding glass door for one of the rentals, you know, but I didn't have the cash flow before, which is why I refinanced. And I refinanced them out to 30 years, which I didn't want to do, but I needed the cash flow now.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting approximately $850 total in from those rentals. But
$850 per month?
Total, yes.
From four rental properties?
Correct.
Okay.
One of them will be paid for in 3 years, the first one. So I'm looking forward to that break as well. But the point was long-term is what I was looking at, you know. And so now instead of paying them off in 20 years, it's going to be 30 years now. But I want to pay the credit cards down. I've looked at options. I've gone to consumer credit counseling. I actually even talked to one of these people that said, you know, we'll help you pay down your debt, you know, one monthly payment.
Yeah, those are lousy.
Yes. Well, that's
borderline fraud, if not completely.
Yes. Well, that's why I called, and I called Consumer Credit Counseling back, which they are wonderful, but they're not able to help me out because I have my cards at very low interest rates.
Right.
But it's the amount of debt.
So usually what they would say to you is if you've got 100% of your income, then you're eligible, or they recommend that you go bankrupt. But you're probably not at that level. Because if you're a full-time nurse, you're probably making more than $50,000 a year, right?
Yes.
And together with your husband, you're making more than that, even part-time. So I'm just going to veer off for a moment from the money and just ask you a couple of questions. Is that okay?
Certainly.
So how does your husband feel about bringing in money now and going to night school to finish his degree?
That's certainly feasible. We really don't know what to do yet. We found out a couple college names nearby and we're going to check into that. But with the kids' schedules and him working every day that he can and me working, there's limited time. And
right.
That's why I, you know, called.
So I don't think that there's a problem with him pushing this off two more years. I know he's 45, and then he would be 40. He would be 47 if he waited two more years and 49. I think it would be, it's amazing that you want him to pursue his dream as you've been able to pursue your dream.
Absolutely. It's important.
But
I don't want him looking back.
No. Nobody wants to look back, but I assume he's the father of your children.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so he has a vested interest in making sure that their lives get pushed ahead as well. And I think that what you need to do is buy yourself a couple of years to get things to settle. So the one opportunity that I see is that you've got these four rental properties and you're only renting them for about $200 a month each.
Well, it's over what the mortgages are, yes.
But what is the neighborhood? I mean, rents have been going up. So how big are the properties that you're renting out?
Well, the first one's a townhouse. It's two bedroom, two and a half bath. That
okay.
one's going to be paid off in 3 years.
Okay.
And then I'll have that minus, you know, taxes and insurance.
Okay.
And that will be $550 with what the rents are now. It's a small place. It's not anything fancy. It doesn't have high ceilings. You know, it was built in 84.
But what I'm trying to do is understand if you can get more money out of your rentals. So are you telling me that you get $850 net after the end, after you pay off all the expenses with the rentals each month?
Yeah,
is that what you're telling
mortgages,
me?
Yes.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
So you're netting out $850, but you have this rental property. What is the townhouse worth today?
It's actually gone down in value since I bought it. It was $63,000 when I bought it. I just had it appraised because I was looking at refinancing possibly that one as well. And come to find out, the ones in the area really bring it down to $40,000 is the appraisal amount.
Okay. But that's still $40,000. So
correct.
You're going to get that one paid off, but you could sell that one today at $40,000 and probably net out $30,000. What if you sell that one today and you take the $30,000 or $35,000, whatever you net out of that property, and you pay down your $51,000 in credit card debt to and then you're just left with a roughly $20,000 in credit card debt?
Well, I still have the mortgage on it, and then I have also a line of credit on that as well.
But your mortgage is going to be paid off. Oh, you also have a line of credit?
Yes, yes.
So it's really not going to be paid off in 3 years, right?
The mortgage part of it will be, except for the line of credit won't be.
Okay, so that's
correct.
Kind of key, right? Because I'm thinking you have some equity you can tap there.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry, yes.
How much is your line of credit?
It's just under $10,000.
Okay, and how much is the mortgage that's left?
The mortgage is approximately $18,000 now.
So you really have very little equity there.
That's correct, yes.
Okay, but you're going to pay it off in 2 years. All of it?
Well, in three years, the primary mortgage on it will be paid off, but I'll still have the $10,000 line of credit.
Okay, so here's what I think you're going to have to do. I think what you're going to need to do is have your husband bring in more money for the next couple of years to get you guys back on a firmer footing. So I would like to see your $51,000 in credit card debt down to $20,000 in the next 3 years. And that is far more important than paying down the mortgage. Even though that's probably just going to happen now because you've paid off all the interest on that loan, so whatever you pay now every month is going to pay that down.
Yes, a lot of it is going towards the principal, yeah.
Right. So the other thing is, so he needs to bring in some more cash, and every single cent you have has to be pushed towards paying down that credit card debt.
Now, regarding him, he makes what he makes, and he works any days he can. And he's very hands-on with the kids. He makes them lunches every morning. He takes them to, you know, the soccer games, to the Boy Scouts.
He's the stay-at-home dad, basically, is what you're telling me.
He is, and yet he works full-time whenever he can. I mean, he's worked every day, you know, that he possibly can. And so he's not really got any extra time either. If anything, I should probably be working extra.
Okay.
Because I can make much more, you know, in one day extra than he can.
So one of you is going to have to do that. If your time is more valuable because nurses are paid more than substitute teachers, which they are.
Absolutely, yeah.
Then you should work every single hour that you can for the next 2 years.
Okay.
And he should do more of the house stuff, and you should push off.
Yeah, he does.
You should push off him going on and finishing his degree for 2 years.
Okay,
2 years will fly by. In 2 years, your seven-year-old will be nine, and he or she, is it a boy or a girl?
Boy. Mm-hmm.
Boy. So you'll have a nine, a 13, a 12, and a 15, roughly.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. you will be able to, in those 2 years, if you're taking and dedicating every single dollar to paying out down that debt, that $51,000 should come down very quickly to $30,000 or even $20,000.
Okay.
In addition to that, you should focus on raising the rents in the properties as much as you can over the next 2 years every time those renewals come up.
Okay.
To add more cash into the system. And all that should be used to throw down the credit card debt.
Okay.
And you should hold the line on buying anything that isn't completely essential. Completely essential. And getting that debt down to $20,000 is going to lighten your load everywhere. Everywhere. And you're going to feel a whole lot better. You'll be very close to paying off the mortgage on the house, that one house. You'll still have the $10,000 credit limit, but interest rates are going to stay low. And I'm going to talk about this a little bit later in the show. They're going to stay low for maybe even the rest of the decade. And so if you've got a line of credit that's tied to prime, it's pretty much that interest rate's going to stay low for a long time to come.
Great. And it is low, too.
Yeah. And so you're basically using that with free money. And the minute you get that credit card debt, which is much higher cost than all the rest of it, paid down, because if the bottom line it's not deductible and a lot of the other debt is, then you're going to be able to start to focus on more of the future. But getting that debt paid down is going to be where you start. And I think you can do this, and especially because you have earning potential. And if you can really throw yourself into your work without killing yourself, because I know you've got a health issue and you got to stay healthy for yourself, your husband, your kids, and the whole thing. But if you can add a little bit more and earn an extra $10,000 to $15,000 a year, in a way that preserves your sanity, I think paying down that credit card debt is going to be key. Other than that, you're going to be in a really tight space for a ways to come, and I would hate for that to happen. All right? So take stock this week. Call me back. Email me at questions@thinklink.com. You can listen to this all over again on Wednesday when we post the show. But stay in touch, Kathy, and let me know how I can help. 49 minutes past the hour on the Elyse Glink Show. Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours on News Talk WSB. Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours and WSB. Our number, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I promise we're going to talk about the economy coming up after the break, and also what happened at the Edison Awards and who won and some of the cool stuff that I saw that it really is going to be life-changing. Paul joins me on the line. Hey, Paul, welcome to the program.
How are you today?
Yeah, it's an awesome day. How's it going for you?
Oh, just driving back from North Carolina. We're listening to you and seeing what your advice is on my circumstances. I am leaving my job in the next 60 days to attend to family members.
Okay.
And I put my house on the market with a realtor. The problem I have is twofold. Number one, I'm upside down, let's say, $10,000.
Okay.
Number two, one couple came out to, have it looked at and everything. It has about $20,000 worth of issues. Siding, it's the Georgia-Pacific siding that the lawsuit was on, had the money's all gone, but needs repair, a lot of repair. And I have the poly pipes in the house.
Wow, I haven't heard about the polybutylene pipes in a long time.
Right, and this is a 25, 30-year-old house. I'm not willing to put the $20,000 in to do it. But what my question is, I have a 780 credit rating. Very little, maybe $1,000 on credit card debt, okay? I'm going to either have to do a short sale or just hand the keys over to the bank.
Okay.
And walk away. Now, which will affect my credit more in the short run and in the long run?
Deed in lieu of foreclosure will probably affect your credit less. But here's the thing. If you're only upside down about $10,000 and you sell the house as is, are you in a neighborhood where these kinds of houses are getting sold quickly? What's the house really worth?
That's a question to be answered, because if you say I'm $10,000 up and it needs $20,000 worth of work, somebody's not going to pay the $10,000, which I'm upside down on the mortgage. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true. So you're thinking you're probably 30 upside down.
Yeah, and here's the thing is, I know there was the forgiveness on the tax issues and everything.
Yeah.
Is gone.
That's gone.
Okay, now that say that $30,000 will be counted as income, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so taking a tax hit like that is, you know, let's say a 30% is a big tax hit.
Yeah, it is, but it wouldn't have to be paid until the next year.
Well, but my circumstances are that I'm going, my parents are in their 80s, and I need to take some time, so I'm going to have no income. I don't have another job lined up at the moment. I'm going to take time off to...
Right, but you... So the good thing is you may owe nothing on that because the way that it plays down is you may end up really not... I mean, it would show that you have maybe $30,000 of income, but it may... The way the tax issues are, you may actually not owe very much or anything on that. So you would certainly not be in the 30% bracket with that. You might just be in the 10 or 15% bracket. So I think, you know, and we can talk about this a little bit more after the break if you want to hang on, but the way I see it is, you know, you really have, one of two choices, and I think of the two, you know, doing a deed in lieu is going to be slightly better than a short sale, and it just means you're going to be out of the box for a couple of years till you buy again, and as long as you have the income back then, it's not going to really be a problem. I don't think it's going to be a problem. But hang on, if you want to tell Crystal, she'll come on and talk with you in a moment and see if there's something else I can answer for you. 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Klink. Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours on WSB.
When she was 18, her father gave her the advice she needed to follow her dreams and become a writer. The next day, he had a heart attack and died in her arms. She did become a writer and a business owner and then a wife and mother. Today, after 13 books, a million of them in print, she's an award-winning syndicated columnist, a radio and TV host, and the owner of two successful companies. And now, Elise is here to help you rebuild your life. Stay tuned. This is gonna be good. This is the Elise Glink Show. Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show. Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours on WSB. Our phone number, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Chatting online on Twitter, at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. So before we left for break, we were chatting with Paul, who's leaving his job in 60 days. He's going to go take care of family members. His parents are in their 80s, and he's put his house in the market, and it looks like he's not only upside down $10,000 where the house is worth less than the mortgage, but it also has $20,000 worth of issues, including Georgia Pacific siding issues that need repair, polybutylene pipes. He's a very high credit rating, 780, and about $1,000 on his credit cards, and he's facing a short sale or a deed in lieu of foreclosure. So all of that is bad enough, and before the break, we were talking about the tax hit. And then Crystal, our executive producer, went to chat with him during the break and found out that there's another twist to the story. So, Paul, I'm laughing because today, everybody's sort of left off something big, and usually the thing that they left off is a home equity line of credit. So after we had this conversation, Crystal came back on the phone and said to me, hey, you know, he also has a home equity line of credit. What happens to that? So that's the other shoe, right?
It is. I have, through the same financial institution, Wells Fargo, I have a home equity line of about $40,000, and I owe $100,000 on the regular. And I'm wondering, what is there any personal liability issues on the secondary equity line?
Yes, there are. Not surprisingly, even though it's with it, the good news. Well, I was going to say the good news is that they're both with Wells Fargo, but the problem is when you have a home equity loan with one division and a regular mortgage, a primary loan with the other, those two divisions don't always talk to each other, and they have different competing investors that have purchased it, and they're servicing it for different investors. So that's a problem right then and there. So one thing you have to think about is how do you negotiate the pay? Well, basically, the short sale lender's not going to get anything. And right. the regular lender is going to get, I'm sorry, the home equity lender is getting nothing, but the regular lender is going to get everything, whatever there is. And the short sale lender side is not going to even like it. And so you have to literally open up conversations with both sides and say, this is what I'm going to do. Now, how much is the home equity issue?
It's 40 grand.
Okay. So help me understand what the total amounts are. What is the what is the total amount of mortgage that you have, primary and secondary?
Let's say 142.
Total?
Yes.
Okay. And what is the home worth?
Well, again, it goes back to something's only worth what someone will pay, and being about looking at similar comps in the neighborhood, you're basically looking at $10,000 off of that as the comp value without the problems of the house.
So 130, let's say, is what homes are selling for
right.
in the neighborhood, plus the extra $20,000.
Right.
So really, you're looking at about it's still a 30-something thousand-dollar loss.
Right.
And you don't have the cash to make that up.
No.
Do you,
I mean,
okay.
If I went into my 401k and did all that, but, you know, to me that doesn't make any sense.
Did you try and refinance under the Home Affordable Refinance Program?
Well, no. Let me explain how I got the house. I got divorced 3 years ago. I was awarded a house, not that I really wanted it, but I took it anyways, and I refinanced at that time.
Okay. So you've already refinanced?
Yes.
Okay, so you can't refinance further. Because one opportunity would be to just rent out the house and move down, and then in a couple more years when property prices float up again and you've paid down the loan a little bit further, at that point in time, you could look at selling and possibly limiting the damage. Plus, if you start
right.
working again in a couple of years, then you'd be able to take care of that.
But that would be, you see, for me, I would have to put the upgrades to make it painted inside and out, you know, do upgrades of, let's say, $15,000 to get it, you know, where I would get the money out of it to pay the mortgage, make a little profit along the way, and I would be an absentee landlord because I'm moving to New York. So there are all those issues combined. I'm looking at basically saying, from my perspective and talking with others, is that the short sale really does not favor me any more than just walking to the bank and saying, here, guys, you can have it now.
No. Okay, so you can just walk it away and give it back, and then both sides of the loan, I mean, both sides, meaning the home equity and the primary, you know, they will each send you the 1099A or whatever it is, and, you know, that's just how it'll be. So you'll take the hit from both sides, but it's still the 30 that is probably going to be unpaid, whatever it is for the primary and whatever it is for the secondary. They can divide
right.
it up themselves, and then you just have to pay the taxes on that. But if you have to pay the taxes next year and you have no income?
I may have income. I don't know. You know, it's one of those where I'm leaving the position, and I don't know how long I'm going to, you know, deal with a family issue. I've got some money to, you know, live on
mm-hmm.
for a year or so. So that isn't a concern of mine right
so,
now.
But that is going to be a concern. It may be a concern with the lenders, right? So they may try to come after you. So when you do the deed in lieu, you really need a real estate attorney to do that negotiation for you to make sure, first of all, it's completely finished. And then secondly, that you're going to agree that they're not going to come after you for the difference. But
okay.
you have assets, and they may try to tap those assets and come after you for it.
Okay, I
so
see.
You need to hire, it's not just as simple as a deed in lieu. I think you really need to hire a real estate attorney to negotiate it for you and somebody who does this all the time. So to find one, you want to go to either the Atlanta Bar Association or the Georgia State Bar. And you want to talk to the head of the real estate committee, and the head of the real estate committee will deal with this issue all the time, and you can ask for a couple of referrals to somebody who really knows what they're doing.
Okay.
And call those attorneys and have a conversation with them about your situation. Ask if they have any other suggestions for you, because they may. And then hire that person. You'll have to pay it on an hourly basis to negotiate this out for you. Sometimes they do it on a flat fee. Sometimes it's a negotiation process. And then get it done and be done with it before you leave the state. Because once you leave the state, it just could bog down and drag out and drive you crazy.
Okay.
And you're going to have enough to think about, frankly.
Yes, I appreciate the advice, though, because this is something that came up, and it's, you know, family comes before everything else, so.
Family does come first. I'm a big believer in family first, but I'm also a big believer, you know, and not killing yourself for the future. Do you have any kids?
My son graduates from Georgia State, so I am free, finally.
Wow.
All obligations for college. I have no debt. I paid all my college, my kids' college debt off. And that's the thing is, I am pretty much debt-free, except for a $200 a month car payment. I mean, I really have used my money wisely in that, you know, I really don't have any other debt but a house.
Well, this really, people have been so slammed by what's gone on during this housing crisis that if that's all you've got, then for sure you want to hire an attorney because you want to make sure that the rest of your assets are as protected as possible and you can figure out, you know, what's going to happen going forward. I mean, the attorney may say to you, you know, look, it's $30,000. And if your earning power is going to be over $100,000 in New York and you're going to go back to work in a year, maybe what we can do is negotiate a personal loan at X percent and you'll just pay that off. And so your credit, which is excellent, is not going to get hit. You're going to negotiate a way out, but you're going to buy yourself the time you need to figure out what's going on. That may be an option for you. I don't know. But an attorney who does this all the time, and you sound like the kind of guy who wouldn't be adverse to that. There are other options, and one of the things that I think people just don't even realize is that there are other options out there, and you have to just figure out what you can do to make it work.
Yeah, because I really don't want to stick anybody that, you know, or anything, but with the circumstances that I'm under, I've been, you know, the choices are limited.
Right.
You know, I don't want to have to do it, but... You know, when you look at the realistic of it, you know, you gotta come to grips with that.
Right. No, you absolutely do. Well, good luck with everything, Paul.
Thank you very much for your advice.
I'll
follow up with an attorney. Thank you.
Please do, and enjoy the rest of your day.
You too.
It is 17 minutes past the hour on the Elyse Glink Show, Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours on News Talk WSB. Our number, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, online Twitter, at Glink, at GLINK. I'm Elyse Glink. Stay tuned. We truly, truly are going to take more of your questions and do the numbers, I promise. Coming back next on WSB. Everybody, we've got our prize pack to give away. It includes a taste pack of tickets to the 24th annual Taste of Alpharetta, May 8th in downtown Alpharetta, a pair of tickets to see Ben Folds in concert with the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra on May 23rd at Atlanta Symphony Hall, and a McDonald's $25 gift certificate. That's worth $163. We're going to give it away to the fifth caller. Call the prize pack line now, 404-741-0750, and be nice to Crystal because she's taking your call. Okay, 24 minutes past the hour on the Elyse Glink Show, Rebuilding America, one house at a time on WSB. I just want to call out, starting next week, I'm going to have a very special offer for everyone about my latest intentional investor, how to be wildly successful in real estate package. It's 9 videos and 9 ebooks, a huge amount of information that will give you the basics on everything you need to do to start being the real estate investor you want to be. There's so much misinformation. There's so many things you have to do. And starting next week, I'm just giving you a heads up, we're going to have a very special offer for you. And it's only going to last for 2 weeks. If you want to know what that offer is, ahead of Sunday, because there's just going to be a limited amount of things that we're going to give away, a limited amount of those packages, you can sign up for my free weekly newsletter at thinkglink.com. Sign up on any page, and you will hear about it on Thursday ahead of everybody else. 404-872-0750. Kimberly joins me on the line. Hi, Kimberly. Welcome to the program. I'm not hearing you. Can you plug in, Kimberly, please?
Oh?
There we go. Thank you, Kimberly. Hi. We're having a little technical difficulty, and I can't quite figure out how it's working. But anyway, how can I help you today?
Well, I need some advice, actually. I am a real estate agent, just so you know, but I've been out of the market for about 10 years. And I, one of my children has a learning disability, and we're going to put him in a special school next year that costs about $25,000 a year. And my understanding is, unless you come from a public school, you do not get any financial assistance. And we're coming from a private school. So that's a lot of money, and there's no financial assistance or scholarship program offered with this school. So I am thinking I'm going to have to go. Well, I know I'm going to have to go back to work. My husband owns his own business, so he provides our benefits and everything. My question is I'm, as much as I love real estate, I really am trying to avoid getting back into it full-time because it is every night, every weekend, and I've got small children, so I really prefer not to do that if not necessary.
What's your question?
My question is, I'm actually thinking about starting an eBay business, and I really kind of wanted to see what your thoughts were on that.
So, quickly, I would tell you that an eBay business is a really tough go unless you have something that everybody wants. And so just selling odds and ends and knickknacks isn't going to net you $25,000 at first, at least. But if you can figure out something that people want, say designer handbags at a discount, I think you're going to have a much higher chance of figuring out how you're going to make that kind of money. But $25,000 is sort of a large, it's not that large an amount, but you may be able to find other ways of doing it that wouldn't keep you at home full time, but would have you figure out a better way to go. Why don't you stand by, and I will, why don't you stand by, and we'll talk a little bit about this when we come back from break, all right? I'm Elise Klink, Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours on WSB. Back, everybody. It is 36 minutes past the hour on the Elise Klink Show, Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours on WSB. The number 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, online all the time, thinklink.com. So we were chatting with Kimberly, whose son has a learning disability, and they're moving him to a private school that's going to cost $25,000 a year. There's no scholarship offered, and she's thinking she's going to have to go back to work. And she was a realtor. She doesn't really want to do a realtor's job. And she was thinking about maybe doing eBay. And the problem with eBay is, as I pointed out, that it is really hard to make any sort of money whatsoever. And you have to really think hard about what you're going to offer and how you're going to make money down the line and where that's going. And so, Kimberly, when you think about what you're going to be selling on eBay, what is it that you think you have to offer that you could sell and make money at?
Well, I guess that's the missing link because I'm not sure about that. I was thinking about designer clothing. I've been thinking about collectibles, dishes, things like that. So I'm really not sure exactly what I'm going to sell. That's the biggest problem is I'm having, and I don't know really how to find that out, what is really a good seller on eBay right now.
So all of these ideas that you have are great, except they all require money to buy in, and it's a huge amount. Any inventory business is tough, right? And if you're looking to make $25,000, you're really going to have a significant business on eBay. You're going to make a 15% profit or a 20% profit. So you're going to have to figure out a way to have $150,000 to $200,000 in revenue on eBay. Now, that's their biggest sellers do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
Really a high bar.
Right.
And you don't even know what you're going to sell yet. So I've got to tell you, I think you're not going to make the money you need on eBay. I don't think this is a smart move. I do think, however, because you sound like a smart person, you sound like somebody who's really able to well organize. I think there's a better business to be had. And that business is getting small business owners organized. And you could do this as a, being a personal assistant part-time for them, maybe 10 to 2, where you're organizing airplane tickets and receipts and invoices, and you're basically doing the things that they need to do on a for an hourly fee that's a flat fee that people would just pay you. And I think that money allows you the flexibility of scheduling, and I think you have a much better shot at making $25,000 a year. Being a personal assistant is a job that can pay anywhere from $50,000 to $80,000 a year.
Right.
If you're doing it full-time. And if you're trying to earn $20,000 or $25,000, this doing it for a couple of different people and being available for them on a part-time basis where you can set your hours, it seems to me that that is going to be a way that you'd make more money starting on day one from eBay rather than something else.
How do you go about finding a job like that?
How do you go about finding a job on eBay?
No, well, yeah. I've just been listing. I've been buying things at yard sales and thrift stores and listing them and going about it that way.
Okay. And so are you selling on eBay right now?
I've recently, literally 3 weeks ago, started doing this.
And what happened?
Well, you know, I'm selling trickling here, trickling there. And the things that I'm picking up are random items that, you know, I think are going to be useful for people. But, again, it's hard to find this inventory because you don't know. When you hit a yard sale, what's going to be there, obviously.
I think this is a huge amount of risk, right? This show seems to be about risks today because people are evaluating businesses and they're trying to make it work, and yet it's not. This is not a business that I can see blowing up and making a really huge business for you. Not unless you have an unlimited supply of designer clothing or whatever that you can buy at a discount and resell at a discount. And even then, I think it's really hard.
Right.
So I think you have to evaluate other kinds of businesses where you could be good. You're in real estate, so I know you're good at sales. I know you're
right.
Organized. I know you've got great people skills.
Yes.
And part-time real estate doesn't always work, but it may lead you to other things.
Uh-huh.
So I think what I would do is some market research around this idea. And the reason I bring this idea up is I know I'm, as a business owner, I'm looking for somebody like that right now.
Right.
I need somebody to help me organize. I'm not ready to hire a full-time assistant, but I'm ready to hire somebody who has all of these kinds of skills, who is interested in maybe a 10 to 2 job or could be available by phone from their own home. And
right.
I know that there are other people like me out there.
Uh-huh.
So this, I know, is something that you could do and set your hours at a place that's probably pretty reasonable, and you'd probably get a decent take-up. And so you have to look at all the people in your school that you know, the parents. You can tap into that resource. Please refer me. Is there somebody else I could talk to? And set it up as you would a sale. Like, if you were in real estate, how would you find houses to list? Well,
right.
What would you do?
I'd market, and I would farm neighborhoods.
Right. And so that's exactly what you have to do. You have to farm neighborhoods. You have to look for small business lists. You have to connect with small business organizations where small business owners are. I went to a networking thing about a month ago, and three people stood up in the room. They all talked about what they do, and they said, "We're here to help you start your business. This is what we do. We do the paperwork for you. We tell you what to do. We help you. We, you know, your personal assistants will help you do all these different things that you need to do when you're signing and starting up a business, and we'll do all of that for you for a flat fee."
Uh-huh.
And then they go on retainer to help with the ongoing business issues that small business owners have.
Uh-huh.
All of that, you know, is a creative, flexible, interesting thing that I think you could grow into some sort of a better business than an eBay business. And I'm not trying to say boo on eBay, right? I mean, eBay is fantastic, and people have built businesses. But the kind of money you're talking about where you have to buy all this inventory and sell it and maintain it, I just think it's really hard to do in a very big way.
Uh-huh.
And there's a huge amount, you're going to have people who don't pay you, and you're going to have people who, you know, there are other kinds of fraud that gets in the way. And
well,
you then have...
There's fees.
Right.
Lots of fees involved, and they put you on a probationary period for 90 days. You can only sell so many pieces. You can only list so many items.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of... It seems like an easy answer, but I think there are smarter, better answers out there. And I would encourage you to go to find some small business and entrepreneurial groups, go there, Tell them you're starting this business and this is what you're good at, and you have a lot of skills as a real estate agent. I think you need to take a long, hard look at the skills that you have and figure out exactly where that niche should be. And then I need to think, you need to start marketing and talking about it. And you can even set up an easy website and start to drive people there. And I just think that pretty soon, before you know it, you're going to find a lot of people who need a little bit of help and are willing to pay you $20, $25, $30 an hour to get it.
Well, I know somebody who's looking for a job. I know you're looking for an employee.
I am looking for, that's right, I'm looking for a part-time person. And we could certainly talk after the show. But I think you're going to need some other, you're going to need some other work, and you're going to need some other local people. And you need to think about, you know, all these different things that you can do and how you can do them. And I truly believe that, and the research shows, that 60 to 65% of all Americans will be working for themselves by the year, I think it's 2020 or 2030. I mean, it's very soon that the vast majority of Americans are going to be self-employed. And with that comes all kinds of interesting opportunities and responsibilities. And you have to understand what those are. But if you're looking to make money, this is a really important place to start to look. And there are a lot of other entrepreneurs who need this kind of help. And people just, you got to be creative when you're thinking about finding new jobs. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Wendy joins me on the line. Hi, Wendy. Wendy.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. What's going on today?
I called in with a question regarding the state of my ex-husband.
I hope, what kind of state is he in?
Well, he's deceased.
Oh, you're the estate. Okay. Uh-huh.
And his sister asked me, we had two sons, and his sister asked me to help to handle it after he passed on, because to help the boys with it. And he has a property that's located in Griffin.
Mm-hmm.
And he had insurance that will pay the mortgage for 1 year. And we've applied for that, but I think that he is upside down in the loan.
Yeah.
So what are the options that we can do at the end of the year as far as the loan?
How old are the boys?
They're 34 and 35.
And you've been divorced for how long?
Since 1983.
Okay. It's inappropriate for your sister to ask you to handle this.
Okay.
His sister. Because your boys are adult men.
Right.
Do they have any disabilities that would prevent them from handling this estate?
I would say they're just not very good with all the paperwork.
Okay.
And
well,
everything that's entailed in it, asking the right questions. They get frustrated easily.
Okay. So you can help them with it, but you can't be responsible for this.
Right, right. And that's all I want to do is just help them and give them some guidance.
Right. So the first thing is they don't have to, if the property is upside down, they do not have to accept it as an inheritance.
Okay.
Is there any other money that came with the estate?
Not a lot.
Okay. So is there enough in the estate to pay off the property? Has the property got a mortgage on it?
The property has a big mortgage on it. It's over $70,000.
Okay. And how much is the house worth?
I went to Zillow and looked it up.
Zillow?
Hello, can you hear me?
You went to Zillow?
Zillow, yes.
Uh-huh.
And it listed it at about $30,000.
Okay. So and the boys don't live there, right?
No, neither one of them want to live there.
Okay, so either they can rent out the property or they can just hand that property back to the lender. The insurance money that your ex-husband had was kind of a dumb thing. He should have instead of buying credit insurance, which is what he bought, he should have bought term life insurance.
Okay.
Because then the kids would have just gotten a lump sum. Did he have any insurance whatsoever?
He does.
Okay.
We're in the process of getting the paperwork filled out and sent in for that.
Okay.
But it's not a whole lot. It's not enough to pay off that mortgage.
Okay. So, you know, basically, is there any other assets in the house?
No, just his furniture, some paintings, not paintings, but pictures.
Yeah.
You know, a washer, dryer, refrigerator.
Okay. So the kids don't actually have to accept this from the estate. This is maybe not well known, but if somebody dies and leaves you something, you don't have to take it.
Okay.
So that's the first thing, is they can decide, you know what, we're not taking that.
Okay.
And then the estate would have to dispose of it. So who is it? It sounds to me like they really need some sort of an estate attorney to help them go through and figure out exactly what they're going to keep, what they're not going to keep, and what they're going to do. And you shouldn't really be doing it, but if you want to guide them because you think they're not help, they don't know enough to do it, then you should find somebody who can help and make sure that this gets paid out pretty quickly and that the estate gets closed. There's almost no money in the estate, so there's really no tax issue at all. All you're really trying to do is get everything taken care of, and it sounds like, you know, probably divorced your ex-husband for good reason, but, you know, this doesn't have to be your problem, and for the boys, it doesn't have to be their problem either. So you can let the house go back to the lender, or the estate can let the house go back to the lender. The rest of the money that's there will simply get paid out to whatever creditors are there. You take the personal effects that you want, and that's probably how the property is going to disappear. And that's not such a bad thing. 49 minutes past the hour on the Elyse Kling Show, Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours on WSB. Welcome back, everybody, to the Elyse Kling Show, Rebuilding America, One House at a Time, starting with yours on WSB. So I have just a couple of minutes left. I think what I'm going to do is blog a little bit about what's going on with the economy. There was a lot of stuff this week. We had 228,000 jobs created. The unemployment rate fell from 6.7% to 6.3%, which was huge. But what happened on the other side is that 800,000 people opted out of the workforce this month. The labor participation rate is at the lowest. It's like at the lowest place it's been in forever. Just 58% of eligible Americans are out there working. This doesn't change around. This is going to have all kinds of repercussions for Social Security, for Medicare, for the other kinds of things that we do in this country. The other big thing that happened, and I don't have time to really dig into this, but it was that China was going to surpass the U.S. as the biggest economy in 2019. Now they think it's going to happen this year before the end of the year. So by the time somewhere this year in 2014, the Chinese economy is going to be bigger than the U.S., and that has all kinds of ramifications for foreign policy, for economic policy. And one of the points that Barron's made this week, which I thought was absolutely fascinating, was this idea that in the New World Order, you could have emerging economies, which China is, account for half of global economic output by some gauges. Right now it's about 40%. And so what happens to the U.S., since we're all in such a flat world, if one of these emerging economies, China, Latin America, India, catches a cold? What happens if they get sick? And what happens to all of us if they get sick? Those are some really big questions that are going to have to be answered as we move forward, especially if we're not able to employ a greater share of our workforce. Something to think about. Music's playing means we're out of time. So tune in next week on the Elyse Kling Show for a big announcement about my Intentional Investor How to Be Wildly Successful in Real Estate series. Sign up for my free weekly newsletter if you want to find out on Thursday what that's going to be. And on Wednesday, this show is going to replay up on thinklink.com. Check there for a blog about some of these other economic events. And next week, I'm definitely talking about the Edison Awards. All right, 59 minutes past the hour on the Elyse Kling Show, Rebuilding America, One House at a Time. Have a great week, everybody. When you're near me.